You have a copy of the scriptures, please turn with me this morning to Ruth chapter 2. I'll mention one announcement that you may have seen there on your bulletin, but just wanted to mention again, we had a bit of a Christmas miracle this past week. The Advent activity for children was lost, but now it is found. So we have Advent devotionals available. If you have school-age children, we ordered a copy for you. So please feel free to grab one on your way out. It's on the table by the storage closet there. We'd love for you to take those and think that they would be an encouraging activity with your children this Advent season. Last week, we started our Advent series in the book of Ruth. We looked at Ruth chapter 1, which tells the story of a family, Elimelech and his wife Naomi and their two sons, who flee to Moab to escape a famine in the land of Judah. And when they get to Moab, things go horribly, horribly wrong. Elimelech dies, leaving Naomi a widow. Then Naomi's two sons die. And eventually Naomi and one of her daughters-in-law, Ruth, a Moabite woman, decide to return to Bethlehem, for they hear that God has provided food again for his people there. In those verses, Naomi lost everything, and she returns to Bethlehem empty, having left, as she describes it, full. Naomi is bitter at the end of Ruth 1. And that leads us to Ruth 2, which is our story this morning. If you're able, please stand with me as we read Ruth 2 together. This is Ruth 2. This is God's word for us this morning. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go out to the field and glean among the ears after him, in the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi also said to her, this man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. And Ruth the Moabite said, besides, he said to me, you shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all the harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted. So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law. This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you are faithful to your people. And we thank you that you have given us your word. And we pray this morning that you would give us your spirit, that you would open our eyes, that you would open our hearts, that you would teach us, that you would show us Christ. We pray all of these things in his name. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever watched a movie with somebody that's already seen the movie? And when it gets to parts that they really like, they elbow you and they say, watch this. It's like, well, I'm staring at the movie screen with you. It's like, no, really, watch this. That's pretty much how chapter 2 of Ruth opens. It opens by introducing us to a man named Boaz who's not entered the story yet, who's not even a character really in the story yet, and it's basically saying to us, watch Boaz. Keep an eye on Boaz. And friends, that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to walk through this passage together. We're going to look at the story. We're going to pause every now and then to sort of step out of the story and to think about some of the customs and practices that we see at work here. And then at the end, we're going to spend some time just thinking about Boaz. I think that's what Ruth 2 is inviting us to do, and that's how we're going to approach the passage this morning. So apart from telling us to watch Boaz, Ruth 2 opens by Ruth announcing to Naomi that she's going to go out to the fields to glean. And it tells us in verse 3 that she happened upon the field of none other than Boaz, whom we are supposed to watch. And she happened upon it, and actually in the Hebrew it's stronger. It says, by chance she chanced upon the field of Boaz. And what that means is simply that Ruth is not intending to go out and find Boaz. Ruth doesn't know that Boaz exists. At this point, Boaz is just a guy we're supposed to watch for. And Ruth goes out and accidentally, not accidentally from the perspective of God, obviously, but by chance, she comes to the field of Boaz. It might be helpful for us to pause for a moment and think about gleaning, which is what Ruth is going out to do. Gleaning is really central to this passage, and it's helpful for us to understand this practice. In the Old Testament law, God commanded his people to permit the practice of gleaning. And you can read about it in places, for instance, like Leviticus 23, verse 22, which says this, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap the field right up to its edge, nor gather gleanings after the harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. And so the point there is that God commanded his people in their agricultural practices when the harvest came that they were not to reap all the way to the edge of the field. And they weren't supposed to go over the field twice. They were allowed one pass at the harvest, and they were intentionally to leave some around the edges, and those would be for the poor, for the sojourner, those that wouldn't have land or the ability to provide for themselves, and they would leave this extra wheat, this extra barley, this extra harvested crop for the poor so that they could provide for themselves, so that they could have food and not simply be dependent upon begging. It was built into the economy of ancient Israel that God had provision for the poor, for the sojourner. He gave a way for them to be supported. God's people in the Old Testament were not allowed to kind of ruthlessly maximize the profit of their own harvest. They were commanded to leave some, to leave that some for the poor. So Ruth is going out to glean. This tells us about her economic and her social situation. She does not have access to a field that she owns. She hasn't grown her own crop. She's not going out to work as part of a harvesting crew. She is going to go out and she's basically going to follow behind the reapers in someone else's field and pick up what they have left behind. That's what Ruth is going out to do. And that's central to the entire story. Ruth is receiving generosity that God had commanded from his people to provide for her and for Naomi. Well, in verse 4, we get to meet Boaz, whom we are supposed to be watching for. And verse 1 told us that Boaz is a worthy man. We might say that he is a righteous man. And in the Old Testament, when someone is described as righteous or as good or worthy, what that means is not that this person was sinless, but rather that this was a person who loved the Lord and sought to live according to the law. And that meant that this person would, of course, sin, but when they sinned, they would go and offer sacrifices for their sin, in addition to seeking to keep the law generally throughout the day. It wasn't just an outward obedience, but it was an obedience that came out of love for God. Boaz is a righteous man. Boaz is a good man. And you can see that even in verse 4 in the way that he comes to his fields. He comes to his fields and he says to his workers, "The Lord be with you." And they seem to like him and they respond back, "The Lord bless you." This was the greeting of a faithful and good man. And verse 5 tells us that Boaz comes to this harvesting operation and he immediately notices Ruth. Among all of the laborers, among all of the young women who are also working there in the field, he notices Ruth. And he asks sort of the foreman overseeing the harvest, "Whose is this young woman? Whose is she?" And the way that question is phrased kind of grates maybe on our modern sensibilities a bit. But what Boaz is asking here is not who does she belong to. What he's asking is, what family is she a part of? What clan is she from here within the tribe of Judah? He wants to know who he is being generous to. And the foreman answers, "This is Ruth. This is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi. And she has been here all day. She has been working diligently all day to gather barley for she and Naomi, except for one short break." And so in verse 8, Boaz turns to Ruth and he says, "Ruth, you need to stay in my fields. You need to stay close to my reapers and glean with the young women from my own tribe who are here. You need to stay close to them, lest you be attacked in another field." You see, Boaz protects Ruth. He looks out for her. Ruth would have been especially vulnerable. She is poor. She's a widow. She's a woman. And she's a foreigner. She was at the very edge of society. She had no economic power. She had no familial ties. She was vulnerable to being taken advantage of. And Boaz recognizes that and seeks to protect her. He says, "If you stay here, no one will touch you." And in verse 10, Ruth looks at Boaz and says, "Why are you being so nice to me? Like, why are you being so kind?" And in verses 11 and 12, Boaz responds to her. He says, "I've heard of all that you have done for Naomi since the death of her husband and the death of your husband. And may God bless you for it. May God bless you for all of the kindness that you've shown Naomi." You can imagine These might be the first kind words that Ruth has heard in Judah. This might be the first kindness she has received in months or even years. And you see her acknowledge this in verse 13 when she says, "You have comforted me. You have spoken kindly to me." Ruth had been through so much. Ruth went from a comfortable life in her homeland to being a widow and a foreigner. Ruth had been through a lot, and the kindness of Boaz meant so much to her. But Boaz isn't done. Boaz continues. In verse 14, it says, when lunchtime came, Boaz was providing food for the laborers. So he would bring food so that they could eat and keep their energy up to work throughout the afternoon. And he says to Ruth, "Ruth, come eat." He was under no obligation to give food to Ruth. In fact, if he was trying to maximize profit, he probably wouldn't have done that. But he had extra, he had food, and he invited Ruth to come and eat it, to eat the bread, and to dip the bread in the wine, and to eat the roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied and had leftovers. There was tons of food. Ruth was leaving with a doggy bag. It's amazing. And in verses 15 and 16, she gets up and goes back to glean, and Boaz kind of elbows his foreman. He's like, hey, come here. Do a bad job harvesting. Do a bad job. Leave a lot for Ruth. Let her, like, just walk by some of the really good stuff. Throw a couple of bundles behind you on the ground so that she can get the good stuff. And verse 17 tells us that the day ends. Ruth has worked from morning until sundown, and she now beats out the barley, which is the process by which you separate the grain from the plant. So this is the actual usable barley to make bread and food with. And it says she has an ephah of barley. That is a comically large amount of barley for one day's work. That is comically large. This would be about 30 to 50 pounds worth of barley. This is several weeks worth of food for two people. This is a jumbo dog food size bag of barley. And Ruth isn't throwing this in the back of her used Prius and driving it home. Like, Ruth has to walk home with this 50 pound sack of grain on her back. And she gets home along with the leftovers that she's got. So she's got, you know, styrofoam containers here, giant bag here, walking miles back to wherever she and Naomi are staying. And Naomi looks at her in verses 18 and 19 and goes, "Where have you been? Like, where'd you go today? It looks like you went to Costco. Like, you got the big stuff." And Ruth says, "I met this really nice guy. His name was Boaz." And Naomi, in verse 20, says, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness doesn't forsake the living or the dead. For Boaz is our redeemer." We'll talk next week about what these redeemers are, but I'll give you a slight spoiler alert. It's a good thing. We'll talk more about redeemers. But what a contrast between the end of the last chapter and where Naomi is now. At the end of chapter 1, Naomi says, "Don't call me Naomi, call me bitter, for God has dealt bitterly with me." And here at the end of chapter 2, she says, "The Lord's kindness doesn't forsake the living or the dead." And Ruth and Naomi continue the back and forth in verses 21 to 23. And Ruth says, "He told me to come back for the rest of the harvest." And Naomi says, "Of course, you should do that. You'll be safe with him." And it tells us that Ruth stayed there and gleaned in Boaz's fields until the end of the barley and the wheat harvest, which meant she gleaned with Boaz for most of the spring. Probably 2 to 2.5 months of harvest. And if she was taking home anything close to a giant dog food bag size of barley, that means she and Naomi had plenty of food, plenty of provision. It's really a happy and beautiful story. And what I want to do now is I want to think about Boaz, and I want to think about four things that we see Boaz do here in the passage. The first thing we see Boaz do is notice. Boaz notices. Immediately, when he arrives at his field, he notices Ruth. Ruth was far below his station. She was poor, she was a widow, she was foreign, and she was begging for food, functionally. And he immediately sees her. He notices. And in doing that, Boaz shows us a bit of God's heart. He shows us a bit of God's heart for the poor and the vulnerable. In fact, the entire practice of gleaning shows us God's heart for the poor and the vulnerable. God notices the poor and the vulnerable. He sees and provides for them. And this act of noticing is a profound kindness. I remember early on in my ministry, I was in a difficult situation in the church I was serving. Things have been hard for a while. There were multiple things kind of going on. And one of the elders at the church took me to breakfast one morning. And he bought me coffee and we sat down and he looked at me and he said, "You're not crazy. This is hard. This is hard." He noticed me. And it was a profound kindness. And so my question for you this morning, are we people who notice? Do we see the poor and the vulnerable and the hurting? Do we notice, or are we so absorbed with what's going on in our own lives that we fail to notice? Boaz shows us what it is to notice and reminds us that God also notices. We are to be a people who notice. That's the first thing we see Boaz do. The second thing we see Boaz do is exercise power. And power in our modern context is another one of those kind of concepts or phrases or words that grates against our sensibilities, but power is not evil. What Boaz shows us is what it looks like to use power and influence and strength on behalf of another. Boaz sees to it, he uses his power and his influence to protect Ruth, to protect the vulnerable. That is what God means power to be used for. God gives us power and influence and strength for others, not for ourselves. God gives us power and strength that we might protect and care for others, especially, as we see in this passage, the poor and the vulnerable and the hurting. So we see Boaz do that. He exercises power responsibly in this passage. The third thing we see Boaz do is practice hospitality. And hospitality is one of those words in our modern context that has sort of been thrown into soft focus and made a Hallmark movie. And we think of hospitality primarily as having people over for dinner or hosting a party. And it might include those things, absolutely. But biblical hospitality is something that is so much deeper and so much more robust than having people for dinner. In the Greek, the word for hospitality, or that's translated hospitality, is philoxenia, which combines two Greek words, one of which means love and the other of which means stranger. Hospitality, biblically speaking, is love for the stranger. It's the opposite of what we might call xenophobia, which is being afraid of those who are different than us. Hospitality is loving them and welcoming those who are different. One of my favorite definitions of hospitality comes from a book named Making Room by a theologian named Christine Pohl. And I gave you this quote there on the front of your bulletin, but she says this, and I think this is a great definition for biblical hospitality. She says, when we offer hospitality to strangers, we welcome them into a place to which we are somehow connected, a space that has meaning and value to us. This is often our home, but it also includes our church, our community, our nation, and various other institutions. In hospitality, the stranger is welcomed into a safe and personal and comfortable place, a place of respect and acceptance and friendship. Even if only briefly, the stranger is included in a life-giving and life-sustaining network of relations. Hospitality involves attentive listening and a mutual sharing of lives and life stories. It requires an openness of heart, a willingness to make one's life visible to others, and a generosity of time and resources. Life-giving and life-sustaining network of relations. Is there anything other, or is there any other better way to say what Boaz does for Ruth? Boaz welcomes Ruth into a life-giving network of relations as he welcomes her really into his family as he provides for her food and welcome. That's the third thing we see Boaz do. And here's the fourth and last. We see Boaz in these passages be profoundly generous. Boaz is generous with Ruth. And generosity is simply blessing others with what God has given you. Generosity does not have is not a function of how much you have, but of how you use what you have. Let me give you an example of a time I experienced this kind of generosity in my own life. When Jack, our oldest, was 2 weeks old, Jen had appendicitis. So I had to rush Jen to the emergency room. We had a two-week-old at home, and we were far from home. We lived in St. Louis. We didn't have any family around us. And so we called some of the only people we knew, which were other seminary students who lived near us. We called one young mom and said, hey, I'm taking Jen to the hospital. Can you watch our newborn for an indefinite period of time? And she said, sure, I'll be there in 5 minutes. This was at 3 a.m. She comes to our house. She has a 2-year-old at home. She brings her 2-year-old. She cares for our newborn son. But not only does she care for him, she cleans our entire house. She does our laundry. And she cooks us a meal. We got home from the hospital the next day. And our lives were completely different than they'd been when we left for the hospital. It was profound generosity. She wasn't wealthy. She and her husband were poor seminary students just like we were. But with what she had, she blessed us profoundly. Ruth comes to Boaz's field with nothing and leaves with food for weeks. She comes empty and returns full because Boaz was profoundly generous with his resources. He didn't hoard them. He didn't keep them for himself. He used his resources to bless others. And so ultimately, the question we have to ask when we come to a passage like this in the scriptures is, where does this kind of posture come from? Where do we learn how to notice people? Where do we learn how to use power like Boaz does? Where do we learn how to be hospitable and how to be generous? One commentator says that Boaz's heart had been touched by God's covenant faithfulness, and it overflowed in covenant faithfulness to those around him. There's a word in the Bible for God's covenant faithfulness, and that word is hesed. Hesed. And it means God's steadfast love, it means his loving kindness, it means his abounding generosity. It means his faithfulness. And it's the word that Naomi uses in verse 20. When she says, may the Lord bless Boaz, the Lord who has not, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. The Lord's kindness there is hesed. his loving kindness, his faithfulness to his covenant. Sinclair Ferguson comments on Hesed, and he says, it is God's deep goodness expressed in his covenant commitment, his absolute loyalty, and his obligating of himself to bring to fruition blessings he has promised, whatever it may cost him personally to do that. You see, friends, the point of Ruth chapter 2 is not to be like Boaz. The point of Ruth chapter 2 is to point us to the greater Redeemer to come. Ruth 2 is about Jesus, and it shows us the gospel. Because nowhere do we see Hesed more clearly than in the person and work of Jesus, who notices us when we are floundering in sin and a mess of our own making, who brings the full resources of his power, of his divinity and his humanity to redeem God's people from sin and death, who welcomes sinners like us into fellowship with him, and who gives generously not only of his resources, but of his very self. It's why the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. You see, friends, in that we are reminded again and again of the gospel. In Christ, we, like Ruth, go out empty, but return full. We bring nothing and leave with leftovers. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your hesed, for your covenant faithfulness, your steadfast love, your loving kindness. We thank you for your abounding generosity. And you have obligated your very self to bring about the promises that you've made. Father, we thank you for Boaz. We thank you that in Ruth 2, we see a picture of the way that he notices Ruth. He notices the poor and the vulnerable and the hurting. And the way he protects her and uses the power and strength that you've given him to care for her. And we see even in his welcome a beautiful picture of hospitality. And in generosity, we see him give profoundly and freely and openly to this woman who lacks everything. And Father, in this, you've given us a picture again of Christ. And we pray, Lord, that even now you would shape this posture in us by the Spirit as we are conformed more and more to the image of Christ. And we pray even now as we come to the Lord's table, that you would take this ordinary bread and this ordinary cup and use them for an extraordinary purpose to make your people more like Jesus, that we might be pictures of your grace. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.